This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and rewatch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Well, yesterday's show really sucked. Emotionally, physically, the whole thing. I mean, you can just hear it right there in the highlight that Owen played. I'm with you, but I'm not with you. I have a thousand mile stare past you of DTR and playing and not playing and all that other crap.
So that was one of our, we always say we have 13 suck shows a year, and that was one of the 13.
For me, emotionally,
that number's low.
It wasn't like it was a, like, no. We've had shows.
Power Rank our suck shows.
We've had shows. I got one in particular that I brought up in an interview the other day. There's a couple I don't want to remind anybody of. There's a couple we got called in offices for. I don't want to do that. Forever one and will be always the quarterback whisperer situation. That happened years ago.
Oh, when we did the Ernest Angley.
I got asked the turning point of the show, and I said that was it. I said most people always have like some eureka moment if something really works well. For Lima and I, it was something that was horrible.
So we had a bit for those joining us.
No. I mean, yeah, go ahead, whatever. There's a preacher who passed away.
Yeah, had a great buffet.
And
in the Akron area. He was on TV. He's on TV all over the world.
He got sued all over the place for that buffet.
And that guy was a miracle worker. Like, he would put his hands... All I know is what I saw on TV. And he would put his hands
there
on the afflicted, and they would rise, and they would come to life. And, I mean, they were paraplegics, and all of a sudden they're doing Willy Wonka somersaults.
It was like Benny Hinn before Benny Hinn. And he
people bought it.
Yeah, people. Yeah, they
Hook,
did.
Line and sinker.
They did. They did. And he had that car phone and that Lincoln. He had that, what was it, a blue Lincoln? And he had a car phone in there, and that's how he talked to his wife. His wife had passed away like in the 70s. Anywho, so.
It's a toll call, though. That was the only thing.
Yeah. And so we did that, and that was like you, and everybody's like, I don't know if I want to do it. Like, let's do it. And it was terrible. So bad. And that was the turning point. It was a turning point in the show.
And the thing was,
it's a good thing it happened earlier than later.
At no point was there confusion over whether or not the audience was on board with us.
No, they were not.
They made it
abundantly clear. Yeah, they did not care. But my issue with yesterday was, at that point, you can hear it in my voice. I'm so despondent. I'm despondent over what had happened the day before, and then the lack of anger or anything, the lack of feeling or emotion that I had. Like, I was upset, and I just got met with, it seemed like thousands of listeners going, what do you care for? Why are you mad? Stop. Why are you mad? Stop acting like a baby. I'm like, well, I'm mad. And then you're bringing up DTR and like, fine, start him. I don't give a bleep. Whatever.
It's so over it.
Play him. Play him against Kansas City. Because he can't play him against Kansas City. So we're just, if you're afraid to play him against anybody, if you're afraid to play him against anybody with a week to get ready for it, I mean, he's not an NFL quarterback. And then you brought up DTR and people killed you for it yesterday, which is something we'll get into earnestly at about 7 o'clock. I don't know. I think some of it just rubs off. I know that we have another quarterback that's on vacation. When do you want to talk about that? When would you like to talk about that?
You tell me.
Want to do that right now before we get into the audio? What, the video of Deshaun Watson posting his vacation?
I mean, a guy's allowed to have fun while he's rehabbing.
I'm sorry, where was Dak Prescott at yesterday?
Oh, was he at the game again? He's been at all the games. He's been on crutches. He can barely get around.
Yeah.
Yet he's going to these games to support his team and his teammates.
Yeah.
Well, Watson did sustain a significant injury, right? I mean, you can't.
He was up. They did.
Man,
put
that
him
facility
up.
Looks different, huh?
So he's on the field pregame. And Lake Erie's beautiful this time of year.
Everyone wants to tell me, oh, he's at the facility.
He was up in the suite yesterday during the game, Dak Prescott. Mm-hmm. He says, you don't want him on. Now, this is the same thing we said about Watson last year because he was hurt last year. You don't want him on the field because something happens. I mean, someone runs into him. You have no idea. It's all fun and games until that happens. But, yeah, there was a was this breaking social media silence?
Yeah, you haven't seen much. It's basically been his girlfriend that people have been trying to go on her page.
Okay, that's a lot.
To see, well, because his, you can clearly see it's his hands. You can tell by the tattoos that he's in these pictures, and he's clearly telling her, don't put my face in these pictures.
Okay.
But you can tell where he is based on, you know, her social media posts. Because you can't tell anything from his. He either has you blocked or he is off
the grid. It looks like Geneva on the lake. What are you talking about?
The same part of
Hudson
Bay that Donovan Mitchell was in this summer.
So, yeah. He's having a good time.
Sure. Yeah.
People were angry. Some fans were angry. And my honest opinion is, it's like, yeah, he's mentally, he's moving on. He knows that I don't think he likes the area. I don't think he knows the fans. I think he knows the fans aren't necessarily fond of him. And he's telling everybody in his roundabout way he's living his best life. And go bother somebody else.
Yeah. So the theory's got to be
that's fine.
He's doing the bare minimum to make sure that the Browns can't cut him for cause. Or anything like that to where he doesn't get his money.
I didn't say that to you. I have idea.
But I'm just saying it makes sense, right? He's got to do the bare minimum. He's got a guaranteed contract.
Yeah.
So he has to show up, meet with doctors occasionally, go to the building. And then the rest of the time, I wouldn't be surprised if the Browns were like, yeah, dude, you can stay away. You can stay away if you want. I do think it's a little odd that, you know, somebody like him who was considered a great, all-time great teammate when he was in Houston, the things he was doing, not only for the players, the security guards, the people that work at the venue, all the philanthropy he was doing in that area. Now you can't see him even wish a former teammate or current teammate well. He can't post anything on social media after the Browns had that awesome win over Pittsburgh.
He didn't bother to do anything.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Browns are also like, just do the bare minimum. We understand.
I don't even think I just think he, again, that day against Cincinnati, I still don't, I will take it in my grave. I don't think nearly as many people were excited, quote unquote, for the injury as the internet made him out to be. And I don't know the reasoning for it. For all I know, he's at a wedding. He's having his own. I don't know. I have no idea. Zero clue. All right. And I only saw like a million people started sending me last night. I go, well, I'm coming home from a wrestling practice, and this is what I'm seeing. Yes, what you got?
I just think the difference between your franchise quarterback and what we're seeing now is your franchise quarterback should be telling the significant other, hey, maybe we don't put that one out.
Well,
reflect this image of me right now.
Honestly, if he were still the franchise quarterback, you're not doing that.
Well, he's getting paid like it.
Yeah, I know. But guys like I
but for everyone for weeks to, well, I shouldn't say everyone, for certain people that you know for weeks that are telling you, no, he's in the facility, he's fine. I'm just, that's asinine.
No, I think he's in the facility on days he's supposed to.
There.
But he has, I mean, honestly, Owen, he has the wherewithal to go back and forth to these places if he wants to. He's paid handsomely. I'm saying I think he's there on the days he's supposed to be there. Whatever's required of him to check in, he's checking in. I'm not saying that because that's the only thing I've heard. I haven't seen him, but I'm only there one day a week. Okay? Used to be four. Very busy. I'm only there one day a week, right?
But I hope we're right that he has taken his last snap as a Cleveland Browns quarterback then.
Well, I mean,
I hope everyone that said that is correct.
At this
because
point,
if he's doing the bare minimum right now to be in the facility and they bring him back next year in any capacity.
Owen, judging by all this stuff, I think he would probably agree with you. I think he himself would probably agree. Am I wrong? Because I think that this is in a way, you know, I said it before. You always ask, what would you do if you had the Powerball, if you won the Powerball? And so I do the show. It's like, you can't do the show. You no longer have any. Yeah, you don't care, and you no longer have anything in common with the people you're talking to. That's it. So he's doing what I would do if I won the lottery, and I knew I didn't have to work anymore. That's it. Like there, if he was, I'm serious. Change this around. If he were one of the top five quarterbacks before that injury, you know what it would be. It would be the lab. It would be these workouts. It would be doing what he can while he rehabs his Achilles.
But he didn't win the lottery, Ken. He signed a contract contingent on him being a quarterback.
I know that.
And I know he's injured, but still.
But it's also.
He signed a contract contingent on him being a Cleveland Brown.
I know that, but that's.
Not a guy that jet sets around the world doing whatever. I don't know where he's at.
But if he's doing what is minimally asked by his contract, there's nothing I can say to him. Like, this is why I bring up the whole George Costanza play now thing. You want him out, and I think a lot of fans want him out, and maybe even some people in the building don't want him to come back. I'm sure there's that possibility. But if he's fulfilling the bare minimum of his contract to the letter, there's nothing I can say to the guy. So if he wants to go on vacation during the season when he's supposed to be the franchise quarterback, when his banner is up on the side of the building out there over at the stadium, then fine.
They haven't taken that down yet.
Because when we're talking about quote unquote franchise quarterbacks, let's just not be silly with each other. Like, I don't need to lie to myself just to make a nasty point about it. We all know what the truth of this is. I don't think he wants to be here anymore. I don't know what his future is in football, and I'm sure the fans don't really want to deal with this anymore.
What I can't believe, Ken, is that...
But he is not going to turn down, what is it? He's still at $172 million, so he's going to do what he can to collect the $172 million.
And he's injured, and he can't really play football anyway. Yes. So, yeah, why wouldn't you take the money? I would do the same thing. I got to be honest.
No, he should take the money.
But what I can't believe is
that... They signed it.
I can't believe that there is anybody that still is supporting him. I can't believe there are Browns fans that are still trying to get in Deshaun Watson arguments. Guys, I should say you lost the war. We all did. People like me. I wanted Deshaun Watson. I was wrong. I didn't know there would be an unprecedented fall off from a top five quarterback to a guy that's unplayable and clearly doesn't care about the team that signed the contract. I mean, he's. I thought he had friends. Did he even really have friends? Like, what does that say about your quarterback? I mean, if they ever did another draft day, I think they'd be wondering, like, hey, did he tweet? Did he tweet about any of his teammates after he got injured?
Something.
No, not one.
It's changed.
Even the team had a great all-time win in the snow that everybody was watching, everybody had fun with. What kind of social media outpouring was there from the guy rehabbing that claimed all these guys were his friends and his buddies that, you know, he was going to fly around and make sure he got all the chemistry down with? Oh, not a peep. Oh, okay. Like, even that is weird. Even if you thought, oh, he's only doing it so people can see that he's doing it. Like, yeah, you see plenty of that, too.
So I will say this, and we got Rodney coming in at 9, who's a current Browns player. Well, there's an awkward question to ask him. You look around this roster. I mean, Rodney's playing in his final 4 games in the NFL coming up here over the next month. Denzel is definitely dealing with injuries, as Denzel is going to do. Denzel's definitely dealing with injuries, trying to make it to the end of the season. Myles Garrett is dragging his leg around. basically, throughout the rest of this season, to the point where I think it's a fan argument of whether or not you would shut him down for the rest of this year. And again, it's, I would say it's not a bad, I would say it's a terrible look if we had any plans, serious plans, if there were any serious arguments to have him return as the quarterback of the Browns. Andrew Berry told you at the bye week without telling you at the bye week. So I'm not, I should be mad and pounding the table. I'm not, because none of this is serious. It's just to make myself mad. I'm not going to make myself mad, and I don't want you to make yourself mad. I don't want that. I don't want that at all. So what's the point of that? 216-474-0092. Oh, I got to take this one right to the front of the line here. Deshaun in Cleveland, hello.
What's up, fellas?
Hi.
Hey, what are we mad at watching for? Like, the fans never gave this guy a chance. They never liked him from day one.
Well, is it the it's Browns fans' fault?
We not, oh, I'm not saying it's Browns fans' fault. What are we talking about him for? What are we mad at him for living his life?
I'm not mad at him. Who said I'm mad at him?
Is he supposed to be kissing ass to fans that don't like him?
Whoa. Am I'm not talking about fans. I'm talking about his teammates.
I thought it was weird. He's not really acknowledging his team. He used to be all over social media. Now he's completely abandoned it.
Cleveland, just like Cleveland's done with him.
Well, no, I'm talking about his teammates.
See, I agree with Deshaun.
His teammates have said nice things about him. Now, maybe they were lying. Maybe they never thought he was a leader.
They're going to say that. They're going to say that because they're their team. Come on. They're their team. They're going to say that because they say something negative, it's going to be the number one story in the world, right? So they're not going to say that.
That's true.
It's over.
So are you saying you don't think his teammates ever fully welcomed him in?
No, I think they did at the beginning, but then when they see it on the field, come on, Miles Garrett's not an idiot. He's seen this stuff for 10 years.
Deshaun, I thought I was going to disagree with you what you said about the fans. I totally agree with you because, again, I don't – like some people are like, well, this, that, and other. No. Can you play? Yes. Okay, fine. Good. Yes. If you can't play and you're a quarterback, then they have to stand there and answer questions about you and whether – no one wants to stand there and answer questions whether or not the quarterback sucks every week.
Here's the other thing,
I totally agree with Deshaun.
There was a contingent of the fan base that were very vocal trying to defend him and every allegation, everything that's ever been said about him.
I used to be one of them. I used to be one of them. I'm done with it.
So those people, maybe they felt a certain kinship with him. There were people that were accepting of him and then went over and basically bent over backwards to try to make excuses for any of the behavior.
You're right, but I don't think it was a large part of the fan base. I think it was a small part. Very small part. Like, it just never worked out here. The allegations and it just never worked out. I don't know what they're going to do over the next, 2 years or 3 years we have?
Two, and then there's like the dead cap goes to a third.
Yeah, I just don't know. I mean, yeah, we're in a tough position. I don't think we're in a position everybody's trying to say that we're done. I don't think that, but we're... Yeah. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Anna Garcia with True Crime News, the podcast. Every crime tells a story. Every story demands justice. True Crime News, the podcast, covers breaking crimes, investigating high-profile and under-the-radar cases. Every week, we dive beyond the headlines, exploring the effects of violent crimes on victims and search for justice. We hope you join us as your weekly source for true crime news. Listen to and follow True Crime News, the podcast, on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's done. That's it. I don't think we should be talking. Like, why are we talking about?
Well,
he's not quarterback no more.
Because it's his. Technically, it's his. And Deshaun, I totally agree with you about the whole scenario. Thank you very much. But the whole talking about thing, it's like, well, I guess he's broken his silence. I don't know. I don't follow him on any of the stuff, so I don't know. So it's the first thing people see is him drinking wine along the beach. And somebody said, what if he's meeting with Depot? Twitter reactions brought to you by Scheibe Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. See? We're always assuming that he's maybe on vacation. That's 4D chess, friend. That's laser eyes right there. He's ready for next year. Meet with one of the head honchos, Tone. We're ready to run this thing back. Probably not.
Now the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima give their thoughts on what you might have missed about last night.
All right, there was a wild one last night, Monday Night Football. Boy, the Browns did not get a Manning cast for their Monday night game. They did not get anything special. They did treat the world to an amazingly entertaining game. The Bengals and Cowboys not only got a Manning cast, they also got a Simpsons cast.
I'm watching this right now.
And there was a wild turn of events here because there was a punt block with the game tied.
Hart's back at running back right now, second and one.
The Cowboys end up just giving the ball back to the Bengals after overzealous dude tried to recover after the punt block, and it went through his arms, and the Bengals ended up getting it, and they go down the field, and they score, and they win the game. But
Carumba, a nice shovel pass to Drew Sample, but it got snuffed out. Well done by the Cowboy defense.
Well, Kenny,
I'm sorry.
I got to say, me and the wife gave this about 2.5 minutes.
Oh, come on.
Last
this
night
is fun.
Before bed.
This is fun stuff.
We turned it on, and I said, okay, they got a lot of writers. They got a lot of help on this. I wasn't exactly sure who the audience was for. Maybe Daryl. I think Daryl gave a whole review of it.
Children. It's for children.
Do children...
For kids like my son.
Does he watch a lot of Simpsons?
Oh, Axel? Oh, Axel watches his ass off of Simpsons.
Really?
Like, oh, yeah, the old classics. Yeah.
Did they have
I don't know that my kids have ever watched it.
Yeah, I don't think most kids have.
Oh, no. Last night, he got home from wrestling, and he wanted to watch The Simpsons, and I was going to turn on the alternate broadcast. I went, to hell with it. I got to go to bed. And so they love The Simpsons. Like, the old, the Treehouse of Horror stuff they like, the one where Bart shoplifts Bone Storm, buy me Bone Storm or go to hell. The See My Vest with the puppies. I mean, you think of the old Simpsons episodes. I mean, some of the really good ones. Yeah, they love them. Who Shot Mr. Burns? Two-parter.
That's interesting. I would have assumed with all the other content out there that maybe they're invested in the classics. Because, I mean, that show was on for 23 years. The 23 seasons of The Simpsons.
Ooh, great
anyway.
Great stop. DeMarvian overshone in the Simpsons universe. Sorry.
Well, they had a full cast doing the game play-by-play. I think it was former partner of Dustin Fox's, Drew Carter. Mm. Paired up with Mina Kimes, Dan Orlovsky, and they were clearly reading lines that were written for them to incorporate the Simpsons characters. Do we have one of the plays?
Here is the go-ahead touchdown from last night.
Bart will throw. It's Lisa. Puts her foot in the ground. Leaves her dad in the dust and says, if anyone needs me, I'll be in the end zone. Touchdown, Cincinnati. Bart to Lisa. 40 yards.
I just can't imagine anybody gave this more than 5 minutes. Am I wrong here?
I think you're wrong. I think they got a lot of stuff going on in the end zone and stuff. Like right now, I'm watching the first quarter. There's a classic bit. You remember the time where Sideshow, but one of the many times Sideshow Bob tries to kill Bart,
yeah.
And he gets him on the houseboat. Well, they just showed this thing where they did the rake gag where he kept stepping on the rake and hitting himself in the face and going, whack. They're showing that in the end zone.
Yeah,
right now.
Well, instead of like Moe's Tavern, they had Moe's Juice Bar.
Well, you can't be showing the booze there. Duff is not a corporate sponsor of the NFL.
During a football game, you can't talk about alcohol.
No.
Big of a reach.
Duff isn't a corporate sponsor of the NFL. They're not official partner of the NFL.
The NFL does have rules against players actively promoting alcohol brands.
They did show what I didn't like, though, is they did show Sideshow Bob in the stands, and he is a known terrorist many times.
Oh, that's very true.
I mean, he threatened to blow up Springfield with an atomic bomb.
Yeah, come on.
Bomb ended up being a dud.
Where is the decency? But that's what I mean. Kenny, you were a diehard Simpsons fan. Did you give this a try?
Not live.
That's what
I'm doing
mean.
It right now, and I'm kind of having fun with it.
That's what I mean. Who was the audience last night that stuck with that for more than 5 minutes? If you were, let me know. I would love to know and tell me how it went, because you're not seeing the actual football game. For those that were not doing a good job of explaining, they're not showing you the actual football game. You're not seeing CeeDee Lamb run up and down to make great plays and Joe Burrow. You're seeing cartoons.
That's a good point.
Like a video game.
Like in the Nickelodeon ones. Isn't it just like the football game, but
you're
they're
a normal
showing
football
they
game.
Shoot slime into the end zone?
Yeah. That's fun. This is all CGI. Yeah. This is all like they look like giant bobbleheads running around.
Were they
I see
at
Jermaine
least
Pratt
running the same patterns as that was happening on the field?
You know what? Honestly, I don't think so. And that's what I mean. You're not getting the real football here at all.
If it was fourth and one and the Browns were involved, you would see Mo just, you know, sprint out to the side instead of going straight forward.
Is he the Kadarius Toney in the situation?
They got Homer in the gun, who's actually played football in a Simpsons episode. We got Homer in the gun here. On second and six from the Cincinnati 33-yard line. Out pattern, this is caught by CeeDee Lamb and a first down. Went right over the top. That Bengals secondary has been difficult to deal with all year. They've had problems all season. A big first down from Homer Simpson.
Well, especially on the road in Shelbyville. I mean, come on, Kenny. Meanwhile, Kevin Stefanski.
Whole glass of turnip juice.
Kevin Stefanski yesterday made it very clear at the start of his press conference that he was sticking with Jameis Winston. Here's why.
For me and for us, we're just going to continue to do everything we can to play better. I think we can play better on offense. Certainly as a team, we can play better. But really the focus is making sure that we put our guys in position to find a way to win.
Anybody that heard us yesterday, and people were apparently really annoyed with us that we were suggesting about it all that there could be, you know, a change at quarterback down the stretch for evaluation purposes. You have a fifth-round pick who's started three games. I think maybe the fan base just assumes he's terrible, either because he's an Andrew Berry pick or because he's a fifth-rounder. I don't know. I found it very interesting yesterday, but I did not think they were going to make a change this week, given the Kansas City defense. Oh, and are they ranked number?
They have fallen off a little bit. Their efficiency rating, I think, is still top 10, but They've not been what they were the first six
years. It is a very, very good defense, though.
They have a ton of pass rushers that are going to get after it. Yeah.
But they have thrown DTR to the Wolves before. They've had no problem doing that.
Yeah, well, he's famously been thrown to the Wolves against the Ravens. They definitely have not protected him.
Is that why they're waiting?
The way that maybe some organizations would a fifth-round pick.
Is that why they're waiting, then?
I don't know.
They're like, well, we'll give you an extra week to get ready for the Bengals. Yeah. We'll give you 2 weeks to get ready for the Bengals. Remember, that game's not on Thursday. That game's on a Sunday. That game has been flexed.
That one.
Yeah, so you get an extra week, and then we'll have Jameis Winston play against Kansas City. That defense is better than the Bengals. But
sure.
Even though it's all NFL football. There's no gimmies.
All right, that's it for about last night.
All right, fantastic as always. You wanted to call me on the carpet for something I was not going to say yesterday. Hit it. Tell me.
Yeah, Kenny, you were annoyed, I could tell, throughout the entire course of the show yesterday because, in your mind, you didn't think I was upset enough about losing to the Steelers.
I couldn't get upset with you because you did not care as much as I thought you should. You care, but you weren't as mad as I thought you should be. But I ended up being the odd man out. Nobody was as angry as I was.
You didn't think so?
No, I felt like the fool. I felt like the fool yesterday.
Okay. Well, I don't think you should feel foolish about it. I think a lot of it had to do with the Steelers. But regardless of that, if you're truly that angry, like today, like we've had time to be angry about the situation, about Deshaun Watson not working out, and about whether or not this organization needs to make sweeping changes or run it back again. Both are very complex decisions, and both have a lot of intended but certainly unintended consequences that can be very trying for the future of this organization. Like, we are at another one of those Cleveland Browns inflection points. With that said, if you're as angry as you were yesterday, then I don't think running it back works for you. So, given that, I don't know that Andrew Berry can return in his role, and then all the chips that fall after that would have to include what could be a complete house cleaning. So I want to take your temperature a day later. You now have another 24 hours to kind of think about where the organization is and the type of footing they're in.
You know, I got to make sure I'm not just pussyfooting around this just to do it. Because you brought that up yesterday after the show, and I know you like to hide some things because it's a debate, it's an argument, and I know you don't want to just give away your hand here. Honestly, this is a giant game of euchre between the four of us. So I had to think about this for a while, and I still can't come up with a great answer. I don't want to fire people. Like, there were some people going, yeah, fire him, Ken, you're right. I'm like, I did not call for Andrew Berry to be fired. On record, I did not want Andrew Berry. I didn't want to call him for him to be fired. I don't want him to be fired. Because again, I don't want to waste time. I do not. I'm tired of admitting I've wasted time. And that's what the last 5 years would have been. But my issue is that you're leaving me without a good argument for him. Other than I don't want to have any sort of search for a general manager. Because guys, how can I look at it as personal responsibility. And by the way, stop me on any of this. Because if you feel I'm talking in circles and not seeing the truth, you need to call me out on this. All right? Damn it, I'm going to tell you right now. I got to come up with ideas to replace him. That's what I get upset with other radio show hosts for. It is the easiest thing in the world is to say so-and-so needs to be fired. Okay, dummy, who's your replacement? Who are you going to replace him with? Because a lot of radio show hosts, they just love to say guys should be fired and they have no idea who should replace him or what the good idea is because they're afraid to have that debate. Well, okay, I think about that. I don't know up-and-coming general managers. I haven't paid attention to him for 5 years. So how is it responsible of me to say that he needs to be fired? I can't just say, well, anything different would be better. No, we've had anything different would be better before, and they ended up being far worse. But I know as of right now, I can't change my opinion on that, and I'm not going to over the last 24 hours. I don't trust him to make the picks in the future. These draft picks, the very recent ones, have been pretty nice. But again, do we have enough time to really let these guys show that they are or are not really good football players? And it's unfortunate, but it's still going to be used against them. Like JOK. JOK's working. I don't know what's going on with the neck. I don't know if he's ever going to be able to play again. Guys, the only reason I say this is because I don't know. They really don't tell us much.
They've been very quiet.
What Kevin says on Monday, and he says it in passing, and he moves on as quick as he can. So even a guy that I would love to make an argument for and go, he found JOK in the second round, and everybody was all worried about his health and all this other stuff, and that guy's been an animal for us, and he has, and I love JOK. Now I can't make that argument. Greg Newsom. Greg Newsom has been a guy who we have argued about whether or not to trade him. Well, you don't make arguments about trading first-rounders if they're that good. I know it was back end of the first round, but still. We can go down. DeJuan Jones is a great find in the fourth round. DeJuan Jones has finished the season on IR the first 2 years of his career. Those are unfortunate incidents because he can't see in April of 2023 that DeJuan Jones is going to finish the first 2 years of his career on IR. But that still all gets used against you. So now, am I making an argument for him to stay or am I making excuses? Well, I don't want to make excuses for the guy just because I don't want to move on.
I get in theory what you're saying when you say, well, if I don't know the next GM, then I can't just hear, you know, shouting into the wind they should fire the current one.
So I should start doing some research and find some guys? You're telling me to do?
I think there is kind of an easy explanation, though. I mean, if you're saying you don't trust the GM to make the draft picks, then it kind of has to be somebody else. You're not teeing somebody up with at least 8 or 9 draft picks, you know, in this draft. You're not teeing that person up for what will be a vitally important draft to try to right the ship. Because we said earlier in the show, like, somebody had tweeted, like, no, we're not just giving up. We're not just calling it a day on the Cleveland Browns right now. Like, they're just doomed for the next 5 years. Mm-hmm. No, but their margin for error is gone.
No.
They have to hit on these draft picks in a huge way. They almost have to hit on this first-round draft pick.
My one thought of it is, we could bring this back if you want to a little bit, because I think some people are maybe confused with me because, again, I'm angry, but I don't necessarily want to move on because I think I'm putting a team behind the eight ball. You know, it used to be right after the season, you move on from a general manager. What if I do let him make these draft picks? What if I let him finish the draft and then, you know, there's another decision that comes out after that? Because if I bring in a new group, that guy's going to want to bring in, they're going to want to bring in their own people and their own scouts. And then I'm really working from behind because now you have a bunch of different ideas. And that first draft almost goes over like a mulligan. Remember, how many guys have come here as new general managers and they have just traded down for picks and stockpiled picks for the next year. And they've punted on that draft and then tried to sell us on time. Well, okay, that's maybe the best argument I can make for not moving on at the end of this season. But if that were to be the way it goes, then I never move on from him because I'm always going from behind. So do you wait until after the draft? The Bills did that, I believe, once. Other teams have done that here recently. Do I wait until then?
That would make no sense whatsoever.
I, I'll explain why it does make sense coming up next. 216-474-0092. Should I be pressing the nuclear option right now? Am I being a sissy and should I be pressing the nuclear option?